us. We don't take that lightly, and we pray to see you again. Wisdom means knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life. And I find that to be a very powerful definition of the word. In fact, I believe that this definition would help to explain the lives of many people. In other words, most of us operate from things that we have experienced in life. Whether those things were positive or negative, it gave us an experience that gave us a memory that hopefully gives us a mindset to operate properly in life, in the life of experience, in life off experiences' behalf. In a perfect world, if we could or would experience a matter that wasn't so good for us, that may have hurt us in some sort of way, may have caused some loss in some type of way, if we gained wisdom from that ordeal, and because of the wisdom gained, operated properly when those matters and matters like them presented themselves again, that would be awesome in a perfect world. But the problem is, the world isn't perfect. And just as the world isn't perfect, everyone that has experienced negative consequences in some area or another has not always operated wisely when those same situations or situations that resemble those experiences come through on the scenes of our lives again. In fact, one of the verses that we used earlier in this series was Proverbs 26, verse number 11. And it says in Proverbs 26, verse number 11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Now, if you've ever had a dog, and the dog gets sick, and I used to breed pit bulls, and I would train them in Arabic so that no one else could control my dogs. You understand what I'm saying to you? And one thing about these dogs was, no matter what bloodline they were, they all did the same thing after they threw up. And if you ever had a dog, and that dog got sick, especially if it was a stomach issue, most likely the dog would vomit. And if you think that a dog vomiting is nasty, then you will really lose your mind when you see the dog begin to lick up what it threw up. And when I say that, I kind of felt it in the atmosphere. Some of you were like, ugh, that's nasty. And the thought of that, and the thought of it caused you to kind of even probably make a face. Some of you got masks on, so I couldn't see, but I could see the mask kind of just go, ugh, that was nasty. A dog licking up what it threw up. But may I suggest that what caused you to make the face wasn't the worst part. What caused you to make the face, may I say, I'll even go further and say, I think you missed it. The worst part, and what you missed, and what was really wrong with the scenario, is that most likely what caused the dog to be sick was in what he threw up. When he got rid of the vomit, watch this, he was free of the problem. Now, may I just go ahead and suggest that some of you in here have absolutely, and I mean absolutely, no right to shake your head at the dog. Had no right to make that face at the dog licking the vomit back up, because truth being told, some of you are vomit lickers too.
Quiet in here.
What do you mean, Pastor? Some of you, and what I mean is, over the course of your life, some of you have come in contact with some things, and especially some people that cause you to operate sickly. And once they either, watch this, once they either got tired of using you, or had realized that they had gotten you sick to the point that you had nothing else left to give, or you finally came to your senses and realized it was them that had you in critical condition. And when you realize this, You vomited them out of your life system. And once you got them out of your system, you know how it is after you ain't sick no more. You know how it is after infection has left your body. You know how it is once you got everything that is not supposed to be in you out of you, you begin to get your color back. You begin to get your appetite back. And I don't know about nobody else, but after I've been sick, I don't want to eat foul. I want everything that I'm putting in me to be what I need. You understand what I'm saying, baby? So you get this color back and you get your appetite back. Watch this, and you begin to get your strength back, and you begin to operate as the you that you were created to be. Lord have mercy. But then, one Friday night, and your friends have had to counsel on you for whatever reason, and watch this, your flesh was in overdrive. And you done had a sip or two, you know, of the Patron, and now you want to blame it on the and even though your mind is telling you no, your body is telling you yes. And the next thing you know, you find yourself licking up your vomit. Watch this. Willingly becoming reacclimated with that one thing that at one time had you so sick. Okay, can I just get some people in here to be real with me today and just confess to your neighbor? Neighbor, I have licked up what I've thrown up before. I know that some of you came out the womb speaking in tongues, but if I could just get the real people to talk to me in here today, could you just tell your neighbor, I don't need you to judge me, but I've been guilty, watch this, of licking up what I threw and found myself sick all over again. Wisdom. If used correctly, I need you to get this. Wisdom, if used correctly, will operate as your spiritual bulletproof vest. In fact, I love what it says in Proverbs 4, verses 6 and 7. And I have to say it I'll say it in the New Living Translation. It reads like this. So if you want to write these scriptures down so that you can look at them later, it's Proverbs chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And it says, don't turn your back on wisdom. For she will protect you. Love her, watch this, and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Can I just go ahead and say this? Anytime you turn your back on wisdom, you will have problems. And it's one thing to just have problems, Lord have mercy. But it's a whole other thing to have to deal with problems and hells and trials and tribulations because you turned your back on wisdom. You were warned. You knew better, but you did you anyway. Can I say that again? You were warned and you knew better, but you did you anyway. Can I just put the church up on some spiritual game, and I promise I'm saved. But anytime, watch this, anytime you know better, but you act as if you don't, you're childish. Anytime you know better, but you don't do better, you're childish. And watch this. Not only are you childish, but most likely you are your biggest problem. See, because when I'm operating maturely, childish folk can't control me. When I'm operating maturely, can't nobody talk me into something that I shouldn't be talked into. You understand? Because I've matured from that place in that part of my life. In fact, the Apostle Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And one of the biggest problems in the 21st century westernized church is that we are grown in age, but not in spirit. And as a, oh Lord, we are grown in age, but not in spirit. And as a consequence, we keep taking loss after loss, causing loss after loss in the lives of others because of our refusal to put away childish things. Can I just go ahead and tell some of you here, some of y'all's boo is childish. What you've been chasing for the last couple of months is childish. And some of you are trying to figure out, you know, I ask God, but see, he says, when you ask, don't ask amiss. Don't ask me for something that's going to come back to harm you. I love you too much for that. And so since we have a wrong perception of God, because, you know, we've been taught over the years that he's our genie in the bottle. He's our 24/7 Santa Claus. And so when I ask for it, I ought to be able to get it. And so now we got a problem with God because he's blessing everybody else, but he ain't blessing me. And the reason that he's blessing everybody else is because everybody else know what to ask for. And one of the greatest tricks Satan plays on the people of God, especially the babes in Christ, is that he don't love me like he loves everybody else. But the reality is he loves everybody the same. In fact, the Bible says that he is no respecter of men, but the other people know what to ask for. You ask for what your flesh wants. So get this, because God will allow you the ability to vomit up that which is killing you, but because what is killing you makes killing you feel all right, you return to your place of deliverance and lick back up what you were delivered from. Have you ever enjoyed your slow death? Let me make it plain. Have you ever enjoyed that which you knew was not good for you, but it felt so good? I remember, I don't know the name of the group. It was a rock band back in the 80s that said, but it hurt so good. Just know that it's every issue in your life, but because it feels good, you can't let it go. May I suggest that many of our problems is that we're more concerned with feeling good than being right. Half of the hell that we go through is connected to our desire to feel good, but not be right. I was at a homeboy service yesterday, and I was talking to one of the preachers, and he said something that was powerful to me. He said he asked his church this last week, how you don't come to church, but you want a mansion? How you don't want to be with God in the earth realm, but you want to be with him for eternity? Lord, have mercy. And so what happens is, because you get delivered from it. Can I just get some real people? Remember when you got delivered from it, and then you begin to remember, it wasn't all so bad. I mean, when he wasn't putting his hands on me, I mean, we did have some good times. You know, when she wasn't taking all the money and shopping, you know, we did get along. It wasn't all so bad. That's why that when you begin to be delivered or you begin to vomit these issues and isms out of your life, the Bible tells you to replace those voids, my God, to replace those voids with God. Because if not, that thing gonna come back. You ever been delivered from something, went back to that place of deliverance, and got it back? Watch this. Let me go ahead and bless you. Some of you come down here and get prayer, get on the altar, put your hell all over the altar, but before you leave, you don't even come down. It's so connected to you, and you're so connected to it. It's got a magnet type situation going on with you, and you just, before you leave. What you mean, Pastor? So even though you got delivered of the cat that's waiting at home but won't come to church with you, but will come, but can't wait for you to get home and cook. You understand what I'm saying to you? The one that while you slave and work a job, they play Nintendo and PlayStation and don't do nothing to add to the bills. And you understand what I'm saying to you? But before you leave, The one that calls you out your name and makes you feel about that big and dogs you out. And before you leave, you know the friends that you really know ain't for you, but because you're thirsty, you keep them on as friends. But now you've got delivered from them at the altar. But before you leave, looking up, mommy. Yeah. Let me just tell. Some of you in here and on social media, that it's time, past time, to grow up. Can I just let you know that wisdom, watch this, somebody might want to write this one down. Wisdom breeds discipline, and discipline reveals your love for knowledge. Yeah. Wisdom breeds discipline. And see, that's why when you begin to become new, some of the people in your life don't appreciate your new, because your new comes with a discipline. Watch this. I mean, it comes with a wisdom, and that wisdom births a discipline, and now you're no longer usable because the discipline stands as a strong tower, and you won't be used because, oh, y'all don't get me. Be careful of people in your life that ain't celebrating you because you're getting yourself together. It's something to be said about the one that you know, they went to the club with you, they went to the strip club with you, you understand what I'm saying? They went to the weed house with you, you understand what I'm saying? They went all the other places with you, but when it comes to now you're becoming new, but they won't come to church with you. Hold on, what you mean? You'll follow me to the depths of hell, but you won't follow me to the house of deliverance. So be careful. Be careful when people, you can see that when you begin to talk about the goodness of the Lord and how he is shifting and changing. Can I just bless you? Change changes things. And you better be watchful. You better be paying attention to the folk that every time you begin to want to talk about Jesus and talk about God, they... What does Christ have to do with Belial? What does light have to do with darkness? Come out from that which is not clean, and I shall receive you as sons and daughters. And can I tell you, some of you are not getting you the blessing that God has for you because you are disobedient and have yet to come out from those that are not clean. And as long as you can, as long as you decide to stick with the dirty, you can't have the clean. And as long as you can't have the clean, you can't have the blessing. And as long as you can't have the blessing, you ain't a son or a daughter. And if you ain't a son or a daughter, that means that you ain't got God. But what you do got is that one thing that's been holding you back for years. Some of you are right now just going, you see them unclean people in your life. But what is it about your Holy Ghost that you don't have the confidence to walk away from that which God says to walk away from? What is up with your faith game that you won't let go what you know you're supposed to let go of so that you can have more of him? And what do you do when what God gives you, you don't? You ever notice, like, when you begin to get disciplined in the things of God, your friends begin to dislike this? And Solomon put it like this in Proverbs 12, and I'll read it from the new, the NIV version. He said, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Now watch this, because if they call you ignorant, don't get upset, because ignorance can be remedied with knowledge. But when you're stupid, can I say that again? Ignorance can be remedied with knowledge, but when you're stupid. See, when you're stupid on purpose, and that's a whole other problem. You ain't stupid because you don't know. Lord have mercy. It takes work to be stupid. You understand what I'm saying to you? It takes work to be stupid. Lord, have mercy. And so get this. I want you to catch this. There's knowledge and wisdom in correction. But you can't gain from what you hate. And this is why you can't despise wisdom, because if you despise wisdom, you can't gain from wisdom. And if you can't gain from wisdom, you'll continue to
for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure the chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which we are all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and are not sons. Let me stop right there. Some of you are trying to figure out why you are not walking in the power of God, though you come to church. You are not walking in the power of God, though you give your money. You are not walking in the power of God, though you got a title. And the reality is because you have not submitted yourself as a son and partaken, allowed yourself to be trained by his chastening, by his checking, by his getting you together. You understand what I'm saying to you? And until you, watch this, until you are able to be chastened, watch this, you can't be trusted with more. Glory. Until you can take being checked, you can't be trusted with more. Until we can get what's wrong in you out of you, you can't be trusted with more. And some of you are trying to figure out, I work harder than everybody at the company. And you understand, I show up before anybody else. I leave later than everybody else. But I'm still not being blessed like I ought to be. And God said, if I gave you more, it would kill you. It would kill you. And let me just tell you something. Anything that you have ever received in your life and it ended up cursing your life was because that's what you went and got, not what God gave you. God will never give you anything that is going to harm you. That explains why the relationship didn't work out. Oh, God. That explains why you didn't get the promotion, because if you'd have got the promotion, it'd have took you away from church. You understand what I'm saying to you? So whatever you went and got, and it ended up cursing you, you went and got that was not given to you by God. Oh, Satan tricked me. No, Satan didn't. You was greedy. Satan ain't done all that. So some of us got to understand, it's a flesh thing. But we quick to say Satan, because watch this. If we can say Satan, it voids us of the responsibility of saying we was foul, and it cost us. So I put it on something. Watch this. I'll put it on something so everybody ain't looking at me. But can I go ahead and bless you today? If you can't fast, Satan ain't fooling you. If you ain't got a devotional life, Satan ain't fooling you. If you don't spend time in the presence of the Lord, Satan is not dealing with you. Satan only comes after folk that he's got to be concerned about. And if you can't turn a plate over for 3 days, he ain't got to be concerned. If you can't keep your legs, oh God. If you can't keep your pants up, he don't have to be concerned about you because he's got you. Well, I'm in church. Half of hell is in church. You remember when I told you the story about the screw tape letters, screw tape letters, and how it goes in this book by C.S. Lewis. He writes this book called The Screw Tape Letters, and what it is that this demon that is he is a high ranking demon, and he is training another demon to how to become a good demon. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so the demon is getting ready to get in trouble because what the guy that he's come here, Kevin. Let me show you how it works. So Kevin's been trying to get closer to the Lord. Well, watch this. Don't just walk around with it. And so now, but this demon that's in training, this is his training ground. And so now he's around Kevin all the time, and he's just causing hell and high water in Kevin's life. And Kevin don't really know what's going on. He just knows things ain't working out. But Kevin decides to come to church and take a seat. And it says this in the letters. It said the demon, the high-ranking demon that was training the demon, that was training Kevin, well, that was after Kevin, he said, now you know you're in trouble because you let him go to church. Watch this. You ready for this? He said, but you ain't going to be in that much trouble because we actually wanted him to go to church. Because it'll be the only strength that he went to church, watch this, that he'll leave God alone. Did you hear what I said? The demon said, it'll be on the strength that he went to church that he'll leave God alone. But you know why people won't show up to church no more? Because they went to church. They was connected to people in church. And now they don't fool. Watch this. And so they thought they was cutting off the church, but they, in actuality, cut off God. Yeah, he said, we don't get you because we want you to get to the point where you don't let them go to church. Like, we can just skip that part of it, you dig? church will handle business for us. How's that happen? When new people come to church, but the church people that's been there gossip. How do we turn them away from church when she's fresh off after strip club because it's church or slit her wrist because she can't take me and touched and fondled and disrespected anymore? And it's church right now, from the strip house to the church, or from the strip club to suicide. And she comes to church and the skirt is this high. And young nobody said, I wonder what hell she's going through that ran her in here without thinking about what she has on. Nobody said that. Nobody was righteous. Nobody was spiritual. But what we was spiritually spooky. And we begin to say, I can't believe she came in here with that skirt on. And that's how we run them away from the church. But you don't remember when you had that skirt on. Lord, have mercy. Verse number. He says, in the 8th, he says, but if you are without chastening, of which we are, have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. With this, verse number 9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Excuse me. For they indeed, for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Get this. Verse number 11. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. See, God's not some power-struck bipolar cat that just decides every now and then, I'm going to cause you a little hell. Anytime that he chastens you, anytime that he checks you, anytime that he has to take a look at you, watch this, it's because of something you've done. And the checking, the chastening, the getting with you is not because he don't love you, but in all reality, it's because he does love you. See, I tell people this all the time, don't whoop their kids. You ain't doing your kids no favor. And the reality is, my children love me the most after I spank them. You remember when you spank your kids and they, you die. And then about 45 minutes later, they come out and they're all in your lap and they love you and they kiss you and they don't let you go. They don't forget about it because the reality is something on the inside of them says, you did that because I was wrong and you did that because you love me. Spare the rod, you spoil the child. It ain't talking about spoil them. You're going to take them to the goblins. You're going to take them to Getty Land. Spoil the child is like hamburger. They go bad. You can't eat it. It's void of its use. And we got too many Christians, 21st century Christians, that are void of their use because they're spoiled. Now, I'm not a learned man, but if you see something spoiled, if you know the milk is spoiled, but the milk is in the cornbread, are you going to eat the cornbread? Because if the milk is in the cornbread, it's made the cornbread what? Bad. This is how the 21st century Christian is getting down. We're spoiling everything that we're connected to. I want to look at these same verses. We're almost done, I promise. I want to look at these same verses from the New Living Translation. And it says, and I'm actually going to get out of here early. Let's go a little more. All right. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. See, a lot of people leave the church not because the church ain't right, but because God has checked you. How many of you, tell the truth, shame the devil, how many of you loved your pastor till he checked you? You was down with your pastor till he said something about you. Get up, pastor. That's right. You preach, pastor. You better tell him. I know that's right, pastor. I know that's right. High five your neighbor. I'm a high five. And then he say something to you in the office because you foul. And you know what? He ain't going to be talking to me all crazy. I'm out of here. I ain't got to put up with this. Now all of a sudden he ain't so holy. Now all of a sudden he ain't the man of God. Maybe this ain't the church for me. Because I want to go to the church where, well, I said, well, I can talk about the club, though my pastor's on Facebook with me. And he won't say nothing. Wish you would tell me you've been to. I dare you get on your page and tell me you was at the club. I'm all in your business, and I ain't doing it in your inbox because you didn't make it private, so I'm going to deal with you publicly. I find it to be a disrespect that you sit back with your man or guy on social media and talk about your sin openly, and he don't say nothing. That's not your pastor. That's your pimp. He's just concerned with what you got for him, but he's not concerned with where your soul is headed. And you know what? That makes it hard for real pastors. Why? Because they're used to dealing with pastors that let them get away with whatever. You trying to control me. I'm not trying to control you. I'm trying to get you out of hell. You all in my business. Because you ain't in your, you ain't handling your business. If you was handling your business, I wouldn't have been in your business. And if you from the old church, do I got anybody from the old church? When the old church used to pop up at your crib, you understand what I'm saying? The old church would just, you mess up. Watch this. You knew you was in trouble because, first of all, you had to sing a solo. And that you didn't see that one coming. And then after that, you was in the office and the pastor was giving you the business. And he was giving you the business not because he didn't have a light or he didn't have anything to do, but because it was his job. But what we have done in this 21st century thing called church, we have minimized the pastor's right to be your pastor. Because you want a buddy. You don't want a pastor. You want a partner. You don't want a pastor. You want somebody you can joke with on social media, but you don't want somebody that's going to check you when you fail. Wish you would. Wish you would let me see you've been to the... You better block me on that one. And people got smart, too. I didn't know. See, they was talking tough. And everybody's like, pastor, and then I found out you can block me. Everybody else could see it, but I couldn't. So I started getting other names on Facebook. And I got a life. And I got kids, and I got a dope wife, and I got yours, but I got stuff to do. But I love you, so I can't let you get away with that. See, we have too many pastors without the pastor's heart, so that's not a pastor at all. Watch this. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father, If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means that you are illegitimate and you are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirit and live forever? What do you mean by that? So in other words, when this old body got to move, you still are alive because you are alive in Christ, which means that there is something after this. So get this, watch this. This is verse number 10. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterward there will be a peaceable harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. You know why? Every week we find out we hear more and more that Lexington is turning into the OK Corral, the Wild Wild West. Because ain't no chastity. And there is no acceptance of discipline, thus there is no peace. He says that if you accept the chastity, because you can say, I ain't got to take this. The world is full of people who said, I ain't got to take this. Watch this. Have you ever had a talk with God when you was talking tough? you ever realized that you know, I remember one day saying this, I was in prison, and I was saying, and everything was coming against me, and I said, if you don't want me, just let me know. There's a world that will accept me. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm not moved by emotion. Get yourself together. I'm not moved by emotion. See, it kills me how we harden the street. Come in church, get soft when somebody says something you don't like. I promise I always want to say, if that ain't Jesus, hang it up. It's like in the movie, but I see how you hear that. But I had it right there before I was going to do it. But anyway, pray for me. So you know why we got all this murder in the land? Because there ain't no peace. There's been chastity. People are saying, chill out. This ain't going to end well for you. Get it together. Come on, let's pray. People have chastened folk, but they didn't receive it. So thus, no peace. Murdering man. there's been chastening, but there's been no acceptance of the chastening, and so as a consequence, there is no peace. So we got a whole bunch of single mothers. See, because war isn't just guns and violence. Sometimes war is make a baby, but don't take care of the baby with you. That's war. That's a spiritual. That is a demonic device set up against not just the woman, but the child. And truth be told, him too. See, y'all keep looking for war to be, you know, and all that. But war sometimes, Lord have mercy. War sometimes is just when daddy don't take care of his kids. War sometimes is when mama got a new man every 6 months. That's war. That's having your child grow up in trauma. So now all of a sudden, so watch this. So Satan's already got a foothold. He's already got a hand on him already, on her already. And so we're trying to figure out why they 11 and twerking. Because you're 35 and twerking. You diss the preacher, but you train them wrong. And then when you lose control of them, you bring them back to the preacher that you spent most of their life talking bad about. And the preacher was supposed to have power that when you couldn't handle it, that spiritual, you know, was able to walk in and say, come on, let's get it together. And the child respected the man or woman of God and was able to help the household, but because the household keeper is out on the pastor, the pastor has no power with the children. So he can't stop the child from going to prison. He can just show up in court and try to get him out of prison. Oh, God, y'all don't hear me. See, the problem in the 21st century church is there's too many illegitimate children. Can I be? I ain't gonna say, ooh, I'm fighting, because they're gonna say he ain't saved. If we got too many bastard children. We got too many bastard children. And can I say this? After you leave mama and daddy's house, it's no longer on them. You might have been a bastard due to their negligence while you were growing up, but now you want on the strength of you. Because you're going into houses where you're hearing the truth. And when you hear the truth, you're forced to make a decision. And when you choose to stay in that lane in vain, then you choose to stay where you are. Do not hate wisdom. I'm going to show you this when we're done. The Lord showed me this. He told me to do it. And I was actually getting ready to be disobedient. I didn't do it. Kevin, come here, please. Kevin, I need you to do like this. Kevin's sign right here says, you will have child support. Come here, Pastor Reed. Pastor Reed's sign says, you will go to prison. Come here, Danny sign says, I'm sorry, you will have a disease that you can't get rid of. Kenneth's sign is saying, you will mess around and be selling your body just to get high. And all of these are not bad, they're good. Why? Want y'all to do is be creative. Come at me your best way. Y'all don't come all the same way because I'll beat y'all because you're coming the same way. So come give me that sign. Oh. No. Now I want you. No, hold on. I want you to watch. Remember in the NIV it said, whoever turns their back on wisdom is foolish. trying to be foolish. They all over me. These, now, though they have negative connotations, they're actually positive. Because if they're listened to, look what all I won't have to go through. Look what all you won't have to go through. Look what you didn't have to, oh God. Some of you didn't have to go through. Now, don't all come at me the same way. Because wisdom loves who it's trying to make wise. You know how you know that? Because wisdom comes from who? So he loves who it's trying to make wise. So in other words, he'll do what he's got to do to get at you. Come on. Come on. You got it? Boom. Now, hold on. Let's make it even more interesting. You know, who are you? What are you? What do you represent? I'll be what? Child support. This is how you know he ain't had no child support, because once you have child support, you don't ever forget about child support. Sometimes I wake up, I ain't paid child support years, but sometimes I wake up after child support. What they say on the pace of family care. We ain't no family. Y'all don't care about me. Child support. What did you kill him? Huh? Sell body for drugs. What are you? Huh? You'll go to prison. What are you? Now, I want you to verbalize what you are. Okay? Go. And then eventually, keep on. Destiny dead. Purpose dead. Over with. Because now he can have them all around him, but he's chosen the world to the point to where you can be all around it, saying it to me, and I don't hear you no more. And day by day, you lose more and more of me. Till I'm gone. You got to have a big addiction. You take everything just to get back where you are right now. And truth be told, some of us that ain't really even back yet. Still dealing with the scars of it. Anybody ever been to prison? Let me tell you something. Every time I went to prison, I came out with less of me. Anybody ever pay child support? You have to stand in front of somebody and let them tell you to take care of what you probably already taken care of anyway, but because of some bitterness in the game, now you got to be made a fool of and tell people that you don't know. You sitting there being told, take care of what you made. And everybody's looking at you going, you are less made. Tupac said, you ever seen a crackhead? That's eternal fire. You're out here doing ungodlike things when that's godlike high. He got you from the back. He got you from the front. And you just getting a 10-cent piece. And 9 times out of 10, it's just a 6-cent piece because they done cut it. So you ain't even getting a whole dime. And you killing your whole. You know why they strip and drink and sniff and snort? They strip and snort because they're trying to get over this legal prostitution that they're allowing to happen. Prison addiction, child support. It ain't nothing like having to go take a bunch of pills for the rest of your life because you turned your back on your master. You gonna mess around and catch something you can't get rid of. Gonna be like luggage. 10 years later, you. Don't hate wisdom, because the Bible says Now let me ask you something. You think God don't take it personal? It ain't cool to lie outside the church, outside the building that houses the church. But you know you a special kind of jacked up when you sit back and come in here and be like, oh, I'm cool. When you can lie in the place where we ain't talking about nothing but God. Do you know what that means? That means that you are not fearful of what you should be fearful of. That if you come to the point in your life where I'll even lie in the house, in the building that houses the church. It's a special kind of boldness right there. So when I say something like, are you saved? And you say, yeah, I'm saved. But I'm so are you saved as the Bible says? And when I say, is there anyone that needs to rededicate, would like to rededicate their life? And I say like to, so watch, there's a problem with that. Because I say, would you like to rededicate your life? And you sat there knowing that you need to. But I said, would you like to? So evidently you don't like to. So that means that you like where you are. And churches all over the world are filled with people who like where they are, and where they are nowhere near Jesus. With your lips, you worship me. But your heart was far from me. So if there's anybody in the building today that desires to be saved, we offer you the invitation. If there's anybody in the building today that says, you know what, I had a relationship with God, and I got to tripping, and I'm not where I should be, and today's the day that I need to rededicate my life to God, we offer you the invitation to come on down. Don't you be ashamed to say I messed up. Because he's been controlling you with the shame for far too long. He's been controlling you with the guilt for far too long. And see, I used to be a Muslim, and there's something that they say, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say this. He says, sometimes, he says, it's like we are walking around dressed naked. Our sin is so crazy that if we wear it like clothing. And you're walking around thinking, don't nobody know you're a mess. But they listen to you and hear your messiness. They see your post and read messiness. And the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And so you've got to be pretty confused to be so messy and think, don't nobody see you. Ain't you tired of hiding? Ain't you tired of claiming one thing but really knowing you another? I mean, and let's just say that people don't see it. Let's just say people don't know. But ain't you tired of being that cat to yourself? How is it that you allowed yourself to be fake with you? How is it that you became one with hypocrisy and be okay with it? How is that? Don't allow the enemy to shame you any further, any longer. And get this, you ain't going to change yours overnight. And so some of you have been in the hell that you've been in for 20 plus years, and it ain't going to happen in a couple of services, but maybe we take steps. Gives us grace to get a little better every day, every moment. So if we have anybody in the building that is desiring to rededicate their life to Jesus, we offer you the invitation to come on down. And I'm going to do this other one, and this is a fan favorite. Everybody loves to come down for prayer. But you know what I found out, Pastor Sonia? It really wasn't the prayer that they wanted, it was the attention. How do you know that's true? Because if you wanted prayer, then you wanted the results of prayer. And if you wanted the results of prayer, then you operated in the formula that brings the results of prayer. But when you just came down for prayer and went back to being the same on you, you didn't want prayer, you wanted attention. Or could it be that you manipulated everybody else? So you thought that when you came down and asked for some forgiveness that you was going to manipulate God too? So I've got to the point where I don't even like asking people to come down for prayer, because what I've learned by watching folk is that you don't even need it. You just want attention. It's like having me do counseling sessions, but you don't change. You don't want counseling me. You just want my time. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to stop that. She said, I said I'm going to stop doing all these counseling sessions with people and ain't seeing no fruit. She said, how? I said, because I'm going to start charging. Watch people start playing games. You don't do it to people with the plaques on the wall. let me put a $25 copay on it. I bet my counseling days free up. And I don't mind counseling. I just need fruit. You know, in other words, I don't want to be doing this just to be doing it, but you're not getting better. I love you too much for that. Now, so I'm going to ask you, if you want some prayer, come on down here, but don't you come down here if you ain't going to change. Because if you could stop playing games today, you might come down here next week and meet. But somewhere we got to get to the point where we go, I'm not going to play a game today. How many of you have been guilty of this? I used to do it. You call the altar call, it was your part. I couldn't wait to hear the altar call. It's my part. And no matter what was, you couldn't even remember what he prayed over you by the time you got to the door. But you have been conditioned to know that's your part. The praise team sings, the deacon prays. You understand what that is? The ushers take the offering, and I show up that altar call. That's my point. Don't mean nothing, but it's what I do. And we wonder why we lose it. And we lose it. And we wonder why we ain't winning folk to Jesus. Baptized people and ain't seen nothing. I done counseled and ain't seen nothing. So when you come down here for this prayer, want it to be right. Stop playing games. Stop wasting my time. I'll be hungry by about this time of the service. Don't play with me. You ain't serious about prayer. Don't be coming down here because you and something. Find some other way to be seen. You playing a game with the